In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to hour number two of the program for Friday, December 3rd, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And the first Federal News Countdown, of course, of December, and the first in a couple of weeks with Thanksgiving. And then I had a weekend off the week before that, went to Colonial Williamsburg, where I had a terrific time with the family. And we're back now and ready for another Federal News Countdown. And this week, my experts include Molly O'Neill of CGI Federal, who is, of course, the former CIO at the Environmental Protection Agency. Nice to see you back from traveling in Australia.
Yes, thank you very much.
And doing some work and also enjoying the fact that the seasons are reversed in the Southern Hemisphere.
That's right. It was spring there.
Yeah. So. Lucky you.
Yes, it's a shock coming back here.
I envy you that. And Deborah Roth of Shaw, Bransford & Roth, participating in the Shaw, Bransford Radio Marathon today, a guest on the Federal Drive this morning. Right?
I was.
And what were you talking about on the Federal Drive?
I was talking about the consequence to feds on leaking intentionally or accidentally classified information, sort of a pickup off of the WikiLeaks.
And we'll get into that a little bit on the countdown today. And that your conversation with them is already up at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Then you had Fed Talk. You had Walt Francis on.
That's, I did.
Every Friday at 11 is Fed Talk with you. And it's you and Bill switch off. Bill,
right,
Bransford.
And Bill Bransford.
And Walt was talking about open season. That's already posted at federalnewsradio.com as well. And now you're here for the countdown. And it's great to see you again.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to get right to the countdown because there's a lot going on with
number three.
The third most important federal news story of the week from Deborah Roth is the open season story from the Washington Post, headlined "In Open Season for Insurance Plans Look Beyond Premium." Price is not the only thing, as Walt was telling you on Fed Talk this morning.
Yeah, that's right. And it's not just it's certainly dollars, but it's not just premium.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of us who've been working and in health insurance plans for a decade or more, we're very focused on premium. And I think Walt, he's made this point on Federal News Radio. He's made it to the Post. He's made it on my show. And the number one thing to look at is your own personal situation. What do you really need? What are your own health issues, good or bad, if you're pregnant, expecting a child, if you have an ongoing condition, if you have a new condition, look at that. Find the plan that gives you the best coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's a starting point. I thought it was very good advice.
Yeah. Walt's been on not just on your show. He's been on the Federal Drive. He's been on with Mike Causey on Your Turn a couple of times. And I always enjoy seeing him. He knows exactly what he's doing, and he's got a fantastic name. Which generates some funnies. In this story, it says the Federal Diary spoke with Francis about this year's offering. So I always get a charge out of that for obvious reasons. Debbie's story number three this week is "In Open Season for Insurance Plans Look Beyond the Premium." That's the number three story as chosen by Deborah Roth on the Federal News Countdown. Molly, your story number three is from Federal Computer Week. The headline is "ISA Sets Tone for Government Reform Committee." And it will be, it looks like, completely different run and even differently named than it was under Ed Towns.
Yeah, and I think what the article does is it gives a little flavor of what some of the things they're going to be looking into from a committee perspective. And it also raises some of the issues around maybe telework isn't as done deal as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's still some safeguards around there. There's some concern there.
Mm-hmm.
And so sort of the telework conversation is going to continue. And then I thought the second piece of this was kind of interesting, really focusing on wasteful spend in the IT area, which really hasn't had a lot of oversight from a congressional standpoint.
Mm-hmm. There's
been a lot from an OMB standpoint. And so this perhaps is an opportunity maybe for the committee to work really closely to really work on solutions.
Mm-hmm.
More be of a bipartisan thing, I think.
Do you think that's good news for those extra eyeballs on the IT spend?
Well, I think, you know, the article says in terms of the IT spend and sort of what the focus on really on failed projects and sort of reform,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot harder than people think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think OMB has said that, you know, they've got some new guidelines on how they're going to approach that and some actions that are coming out. And I think you know, having another watchful eye on that and another perspective, I think, is probably a good thing.
Well, how do you feel when you – what do you think when you read about the TxDOT sessions and you think about the possibility of being in that situation a couple of years back? Your peers are are going through those right now.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the hardest thing about those kinds of situations is, you know, you have to make sure you've got the most up-to-date information on it, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these things, the reasons behind success and failure, I guess part of the reason is you got to understand what success is mm-hmm. from an OMB perspective on a tech stat meeting versus what an agency success is.
And yeah.
I think part of the issue is really driving what success factors are.
Mm-hmm.
If a success factor is putting in a system that meets the needs because there's a compliance issue with another law or something, maybe that's a success metric, where another metric might be, but are the systems usable and we're getting everything out,
yeah.
which probably wasn't a primary success measure, mm-hmm. or they should have been. So, you know, these are interesting meetings because you can have different goals in them. And but if you structure them right, you can certainly have an opportunity understanding that there's goals. We understand the data in terms of where the projects are and what the outcomes are really supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Molly O'Neill's story number three on the Federal News Countdown is a Federal Computer Week story, which is headlined, ISA Sets Tone for Government Reform Committee. You can read the whole story and all the stories that we're counting down on the Federal News Countdown this week at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Molly O'Neill and Deborah Roth choosing the stories on the countdown this week, and we'll hear from both of them on story number two from each of them when In Depth with Francis Rose continues on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This week on Agency of the Month featuring the GSA is brought to you by Commercial Data Systems.
The GSA Federal Acquisition Service is charting a new course with a little help from Star Trek. Steve Kempf leads FAS.
It began with that famous monologue, Space, the Final Frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. And today, in the Federal Acquisition Service, we have some opportunities to boldly go where our organization has not gone before.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Commercial Data Systems is a small, disadvantaged information technology systems integrator specializing in virtualization, cross-domain security, and database operations. With more than 25 years of contracting experience, CDS understands how to ease the procurement process for government clients. CDS offers GSA schedule purchasing with over 200,000 commercial off-the-shelf IT products, including a blanket purchase agreement for your Oracle hardware and software needs. To learn more, visit CDSinc.com. That's CDSinc.com.
20,000 feet over Kandahar, fuel running low, ground troops need air support. The solution? EADS North America's KC-45 aerial refueling tanker. Offering the most range, fuel, and payload, it's the only tanker in the Air Force competition that's flying now when our troops need it. EADS North America will put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 in the U.S. Proven capability, ready now. EADS North America's KC-45. See it at KC45now.com.
Paid for by EADS North America.
Hi, I'm Neil Asbury, host of The Neil Asbury Show. Please join me and my guests each week as we discuss the importance of international trade, entrepreneurialism, small business ownership, job creation, and the American dream.
The Neil Asbury Show, Saturday mornings at 8 on Federal News Radio. The Neil Asbury Show is sponsored by AIT Worldwide Logistics, Yoakum Shore and Trossaven, and WTS Withers Worldwide Transportation Systems.
Here's Robert Kahn, Ph.D., from the panel discussion on Cyber 2020, the future of the Internet, brought to you by Booz Allen Hamilton.
And so when you have discussions like net neutrality, they were really not about the Internet, even though they were often claimed to be, because they weren't really challenging the protocols and procedures. They were really talking about policies that ought to apply to specific components of the Internet, like a communication service provider.
To hear the entire show, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword Booz Allen.
Pressing challenges around issues like cybersecurity, net neutrality, and Internet governance have one thing in common. They all exist in cyberspace. Booz Allen Hamilton believes scenario development, strategic planning, and new governance models are key to promote and protect U.S. economic, social, and security interests in cyberspace, while ensuring the openness of the Internet and the privacy of individuals. Booz Allen is ready for what's next. Learn more at BoozAllen.com/expertvoices.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon. Performance reviews. You get them. You may even give them. But are they effective? We'll talk to two experts about how you can make those performance reviews more effective. And we'll continue looking at the big stories of 2010. Today, Jonathan Bruhl of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. He'll talk about some of the federal management events of 2010. This afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabek Insider. It's right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Federal news and information just got more fun and interesting. Amy Morris joins Tom Temin on the Federal Drive, weekday mornings from 6 to 10. Tom and Amy tailor their show for Feds on the Go with usable information from trustworthy and seasoned journalists. You're going to learn, but they also might make you laugh. The Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown. Each week at this time, in the 2 o'clock hour on Friday, two experts in the world of the federal government choose the news stories they think are the three most important stories to people who work for the government. They come into the studio, we rank them in order and count them down, and we're up to...
Number 2!
And the second most important news story of the week from Deborah Roth and the second most important story from Molly O'Neill are very similar. Debbie, you chose the NextGov story headline, Countering WikiLeaks Could Stifle Information Sharing. Molly, your story number 2 is from the Wall Street Journal. The headline is U.S. Rethinks Access to Data. And the stories are kind of running on parallel tracks because the idea essentially is, how do we keep the stuff that we don't want people to see in a form where people can't see it and get to it? And, I mean, Molly, you've got frontline experience with this kind of thing. The challenge doesn't get easier as time goes on. It gets harder because you have more people getting access to stuff and more people, those people who have access with the ability to take it without anybody knowing.
Yeah, and you have more people who are much more sophisticated on how to do it, whether it's from a technology perspective or a lesser technology perspective, whether it's on the internet or in some of the, maybe through a disk, as we were talking during the break a little bit. So you've got, you know, a lot more people have access to information. You have, you know, more channels to get it, and you've got more sophistication. Mm-hmm. And so it's a constant battle in terms of how do you control information to the right people. Yet as both of the articles I think talk about, is we're in this age of improving access and sharing, and we don't want to be where we were for 9/11, where we didn't have different branches of the government working together. So we're starting to open all those things up. And so incidents like this happen, and it kind of makes you pause again and say, okay, maybe what are the other things we need to safeguard some of those channels that we're opening up?
Yeah. Debbie, you and Bill have talked to us, all of our shows, on a number of occasions about not just WikiLeaks, but all kinds of classified information, the release, what happens to people.
Not good things.
No, not good things. And really, really terrible things, in fact. And we can speculate all we want about the motivation of this Bradley Manning guy. I wouldn't want to be him right now. And I continue to be puzzled by the idea that these people that do this seem to get caught. Molly maybe can speak to the fact of how many people can get away with this kind of thing that they're never able to identify. But this guy got caught, and so it turns out it wasn't such a good idea.
Well, you know, most people who break the law don't envision getting caught. And the reality is that from petty crimes to complex crimes, quite often it takes time, but the government catches it and figures it out. But of course, many people are caught in these kinds of instances when they're sharing unauthorized sharing of information, classified or just otherwise compartmented information. They're caught because they've demonstrated something in the workplace that has concerned their coworkers. Mm-hmm. And it's usually their coworkers who rat them out. If it's, as I was saying with Molly off air, if it's just, I took it off my computer, I put it on a disk, I walked out the front door of NSA, and then I delivered it to WikiLeaks. You know, then you're going to have to rely upon an alternative source than forensic computer science, because they're not going to see the transmission, which, as Molly was telling me offline, is very sophisticated now, they can do it. So, you know, there's the less sophisticated ways and there's the very, very sophisticated ways. Mm-hmm. But it's created this, you know, the second publication through WikiLeaks of this classified information, however you want to describe the consequence to the United States government's diplomacy abroad. It's having everybody rethink the thing we already thought we rethought mm-hmm. post 9/11, which was information sharing.
Yeah.
How did this person get access to that breadth of State Department information?
Well, I was going to say, and you know, the thing that, you know, I always have sort of a technology hat when I read some of these federal articles. And I think, you know, as we sit back here, there's the sort of the how people can do it and catch it. In the old days, when you think of like espionage, it's usually, you know, and if you watch a lot of the movies, you know, prior to about 5 or 6 years ago, it was, you know, the hand that you
passing
hand the envelope
paper
to maybe one person who then takes it to the government somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're seeing and what I'm seeing in some of the WikiLeaks articles is really exposing the fact that you can have one person with malintent
mm-hmm.
who goes and wants to share something and get it out. But just like viral videos now, and because we've got sites like WikiLeaks and that are out there, sort of how fast that information spread, and that information where alone it could do a certain amount of damage, like, you know, in the when you met someone in the park, like in the movies, and you transferred
yeah.
your envelope, maybe that information alone was only so much harm could be done.
Mm-hmm.
But when you couple that, because there's so much other information out there now, with the viralness in terms of getting that information out and the speed to which now it can be pushed and merged with other information, that's the scary part. So you've got that same amount of information perhaps getting to more people faster that can actually use that information in new ways as well. And to me, that's sort of there's the WikiLeaks story of what has happened, but
mm-hmm.
it also sort of raises the you know, the thought process on how fast things are moving and how devastating or what the potential effect can be just because of the fact that things are now available online.
What are some of the things that you do or that IT shops in government do to try to protect themselves against the internal threat like this guy?
Well, I mean, it starts before the IT shop. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you have security clearances,
mm-hmm.
but
that didn't work this time.
Right. And then, but you also have the.
But that's not
right.
fail safe because
that's
of
exactly
the human aspect.
Right. That's exactly right. And so you have
the disgruntled worker.
Right. You have the disgruntled worker. And so you also have you can be secured, but you still have to have sort of management decisions that say, so what's the need to know basis? And we forget about that a lot. We tend to, well, they're cleared. Let's just, you know, give something out.
Mm-hmm.
If there's performance indicators, as Deborah's saying, or there's other things that's going on with this person, even if they're cleared and they had intent, there's a lot of human factors. You know, and then you've got sort of classified networks and things like that from an IT standpoint where you can, you know, better secure the information and only give access to the people who need to have access. But, but clearance is one, as you said, you know, and then need to know basis is another.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can put all sorts of stuff on, you know, from a computer where to figure out, you know, how often information being downloaded and those kinds of what I'll say metrics and analytics these days. And
mm-hmm.
we won't go into all of them on the air here. But it's still it's a difficult situation to manage because it requires human factor behavioral mm-hmm. kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
with technology with this balance of if I only give right to know or who needs to know, I should say,
yeah.
access to this, I don't know if, you know, from an information sharing perspective, if they will need access to it in another part. And so how do you manage is it from a point-to-point perspective versus
yeah.
something else? So it's very, very complicated. And it's, like I say, it's not there's a technology component to it. But there's a lot of human component to it.
All right. Since you both chosen this for story number two, there's a lot here to dig into, and we'll do that when we come back from the break. We're on the Federal News Countdown at story number two this week. Molly O'Neill's story number two is from the Wall Street Journal. It's about WikiLeaks. The headline is U.S. Rethinks Access to Data. Deborah Roth's story number two on the countdown, also about WikiLeaks. Countering WikiLeaks could stifle information sharing from NextGov. And we'll continue the Federal News Countdown in just a moment.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kelly O'Donnell. The commander-in-chief drops in on U.S. troops in Afghanistan. President Obama just addressed the troops at Bagram Air Force Base.
On behalf of me On behalf of Michelle, on behalf of Malia and Sasha, on behalf of more than 300 million Americans, we are here to say thank you.
The president was supposed to meet with Afghanistan's president in Kabul, but White House aides say some windy and cloudy weather conditions got in the way of those plans. Back at home, economists expected better, but the Labor Department reports the nation's employers added only 39,000 jobs last month. That was a sharp drop from October. It also pushes the nation's unemployment rate to 9.8%. And a New York City woman wrapped up a $10,000 prize today when she gift-wrapped inline skates, a charcoal grill, and an all-terrain vehicle. Mariangela Patron beat out seven competitors to become Scotch Brand's most gifted rapper. I'm Kelly O'Donnell, NBC News Radio.
At the JCPenney Appreciation Sale, save extra this Friday and Saturday. Save an extra 15% on regular sale and clearance items. Save an extra 15% on all apparel for her, for him, and for the kids. Plus, save an extra 15% on all accessories, shoes, and all fine jewelry. And if you use your JCPenney Rewards credit card, it's not just 15%, but an extra 20% off. Doors open early Saturday at 7 a.m. Go to jcp.com to see everything on sale. New list, new gifts, who knew? JCPenney. Some exclusions apply. Offers end December 4th.
Tired of replacing expensive inkjet printer cartridges? Maybe it's time to replace the printer. Switch to Kodak and stop overpaying for inkjet printer ink. Because Kodak only uses fairly priced ink, you save money without having to print less. Get $50 off a new Kodak printer now through December 4th when you bring your old printer to Best Buy. Print and prosper with Kodak.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The U.S. military budget is going to recede, but it's not exactly clear when or by how much. Defense Secretary Robert Gates wants the military to find $100 billion in savings in overhead over the next 5 years to put back into troop costs and weapons programs. And he wants to do it while keeping the Pentagon budget growing at about 1% a year. Marine Corps General James Cartwright, Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said yesterday other parts of the government might have a problem with that. I'm G.G. Green.
When you think of Forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally. Air Inc. has. Air Inc. and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com. to learn more.
Want to save money on vitamins, herbal remedies, and other health care needs? Then visit Village Green Apothecary during our big year-end sale now through December 31st. You'll save 35% on our popular Pathway brand nutrition products, 25% off other supplements, and 20% off natural body care products. Visit us at 5415 West Cedar Lane in Bethesda or shop online at myvillagegreen.com. And be sure to catch our top-notch radio show, Essentials of Healthy Living, every Sunday at 10 a.m.
Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Megafood and Gero Formula.
Have you delayed putting together an estate plan? Your retirement savings, insurance policies, and real estate are all part of your assets. If you or your partner should ever become incapacitated, who will handle the financial or medical decisions? And how do you want those assets distributed? Hi, I'm Wayne Zell of Zell Law and host of Blueprint for Wealth Saturdays at 10 a.m. Find out how you can better secure your future this Saturday or call me at Zell Law at 571-203-9355. Or visit us on the web at zelllaw.com.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife. My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Profile America, Friday, December 3rd. The holiday season is in full swing this weekend, with lights, decorations, and special events all over the country. Christmas candle lightings will take place in Coshocton, Ohio, with singing, storytelling, and hot mulled cider. In Wahoo, Nebraska, Christmas on the Prairie will feature all the trappings of an old-fashioned holiday. Down in Galveston, Texas, Dickens on the Strand will highlight the city's Victorian houses. And in Florida, the Hollywood Beach Candy Cane Parade will draw some 50,000 spectators. In among the celebrations, shoppers will be crowding the nation's more than 1.1 million retail businesses to get a head start on checking items off their holiday gift lists. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
The Federal News Radio Community Spotlight for December is the Capital Area Food Bank. When is the last time you went to bed hungry? Right here in the Washington metro area, over 200,000 children are going to bed hungry each night. Help the Capital Area Food Bank make this holiday season special for children in need. For every dollar you donate, the food bank can provide three meals. For more information, visit federalnewsradio.com. And remember, hunger never takes a holiday.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. It's the Federal News Countdown, where two people who are experts in the world of the federal government choose the news stories from the week that they think are most important to people who work for the government, rank them in order from 3 to 1, and we count them down on the Federal News Countdown every week at 2 o'clock on Friday on In Depth with Francis Rose, Deborah Roth, a partner in the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth, and Molly O'Neill of CGI Federal are my guests on the countdown this week. And we are talking about story number 2, and both of you have chosen different but similar takes on the WikiLeaks controversy as story number 2 this week. I want to play for you the thoughts of Defense Secretary Robert Gates about WikiLeaks. We were talking during the break that Secretary of State Clinton has proclaimed this to be a really terrible situation. President Obama is in Afghanistan today. One of the goals of that trip to Afghanistan was to meet with President Karzai there, who did not look very good in the eyes of the United States in some of these leaks. So despite that, the Secretary Gates, in my view, has kind of a different take on this. Let's listen to him.
I've heard the impact of these releases on our foreign policy described as a meltdown, as a game changer, and so on. I think those descriptions are fairly significantly overwrought. The fact is, governments deal with the United States because it's in their interest, not because they like us, not because they trust us, and not because they believe we can keep secrets. Some governments deal with us because they fear us, some because they respect us, most because they need us. We are still essentially, as has been said before, the indispensable nation. So other nations will continue to deal with us. They will continue to work with us. We will continue to share sensitive information with one another. Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes. Consequences for U.S. foreign policy? I think fairly modest.
That's Defense Secretary Robert Gates in wake of the Wikipedia document release earlier this week, talking about his view of the consequences there. Molly, you agree with him or disagree?
Well, for the most part, I agree with him. I mean, I still think we fundamentally, you know, have a problem in the government's, act has been charged now, the agencies, to figure out how they're locking down this information better. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good message in many ways. I think it's a calming message. The fruits of this leak, not Wikipedia, WikiLeaks, mm-hmm. is to be seen. But I think it's a nice calming message because clearly it's been all over the news, mm-hmm. and the person who's doing it is all over the news, getting attention, which is always troublesome for me.
Yeah, Debbie, Secretary Gates, agree or disagree?
You know, I overall agree. I do agree with him, and I agree because I agree from where it's coming from. He's the Secretary of Defense of our national security. And from his perspective, the information that was leaked, I think when he speaks about the consequences, he's talking about it from his role in the government. Mm-hmm. And I think he's right on message. And of course, I'm sure he agrees with Secretary of State Clinton's perspective, because she sits in chief diplomat chair. And it is embarrassing and it is awkward, and her job is to create trust again and have people feel good about us that we won't leak it again. Mm-hmm. And so from her perspective, that's damage. When you tell tales on your neighbors and make fun of them behind their back, you know, their feelings are hurt. And so from her perspective, I think her message is correct. And I, of course, think the president is correct to take a trip into the war zone. You know, one of the places where the message came out very poorly against, you know, our allies there, and to try from commander-in-chief to commander-in-chief, make it right in the war zone. So I think they're right on message. But what Molly and I and you, Francis, we were talking about on the break is that's different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're all, I think they're all right. That's different from, can this happen again?
Yeah.
Because I agree with Gates, but I'm sure he agrees with me.
Mm-hmm.
This, we can't keep doing this. Can't,
yeah. Aaliyah Sternstein gets to that in the story that you picked, Debbie, in story number two, for story number two this week. She writes, former national security officials say deploying software to scan for unauthorized transmission of private data will not restrain people bent on exposing data. Rather than using cyber defenses, they say, the government should take action on the front end to alter the behavior of human beings. And that's what so many of these technology things get to.
How?
How do you change people's brains?
Yeah.
Is really what needs to happen.
You know, that's sure, but and the security clearance process is designed to weed out the untrustworthy. But people become, you know, their minds change and their belief systems can change while they're employed, while they have access to data, and you know, we saw that with this particular individual, and we've seen it with the individual who, I forgot his name, you know, was, who shot people
in Fort Hood.
And yeah. People saw that change in him and becoming more and more concerned about his mental health, mm-hmm. and yet nobody did anything. And so you wonder how many of those happen before people become more vigilant inside their own workplaces. But to say you're going to change human behavior when you have 800,000 people with security clearances and access to classified information, you know, that's really challenging. I think that's less, I think it's more challenging than maybe from where Molly sits, which is the technology part, because he downloaded 250,000 cables. I mean, the system should have gone off and said, stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, it's really, you know, since you sit on the legal side, so it's kind of interesting. So if you're you know an executive in government, also, you know, there's this intrusion too, and so, you know, employees don't like it when you're snooping at what they're doing, you know.
But you can. It's perfectly legal.
Right. I'm just saying it's a balance, and it's certainly worth a discussion that says yes, we can put there's some technology things you can do to look at behavior that sends a signal that says, gosh, this person seems to be online at night from, you know, 6 a.m. or 8 p.m. to, you know, midnight. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be, you know, doing certain things. But I can tell you, sort of being inside the government, people don't like that. And there's an awful pushback in terms of their rights and things like that. I'm not saying you can't do it.
Well, you know what?
But it brings up another discussion.
I understand that.
Right.
Too bad. When I sign on to my computer here at this radio station,
it says to you,
right?
Every third or fourth time that I log on, a box pops up. And it's a bunch of legal terminology that essentially says, you're using a work computer, you don't own it, and we can do anything we want to, and we can watch you if we want to. And if you don't like it, the implication is you don't have to work here anymore.
That's absolutely right.
And I work at a radio station. I'm not handling any national security secrets. So I don't think, as a taxpayer, it's unreasonable for somebody who works for the government to be held to the same standard. So I understand what you're saying, but I have a hard time listening to somebody who works for the government say, well, I don't like it if people watch what I'm doing. Too bad to them.
I don't think that concern drives access and how access to classified information and how the government, the security offices respond to concerns about people accessing information and how they're doing it, when they're doing it, what they're doing. I don't think that drives it, because they very much know in the internal security world that the Fourth Amendment, there's very limited application. I think that true to form, the federal executive branch, the largest single employer in the world, when it takes something on, it's very slow moving and it's hard to get it right the first time, because it is this big behemoth. And so after 9/11, when they said information sharing, I think part of what got lost in that mix was, but how much information, mm-hmm. and what controls, and how did this person in his job have access? That's what keeps
coming up. Well, that's
up.
The big question that nobody
how did
can
he
answer.
Get access to that?
Yeah. There's a lot here, and we could go on. We could spend the rest of the show on this subject. And this is only the second most important news story of the week, as chosen by Deborah Roth and Molly O'Neill on the Federal News Countdown this week. The number one story right around the corner, and all of the news stories that my panelists have chosen this week are available at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The number two story of the week from Molly O'Neill, the Wall Street Journal story, U.S. Rethinks Access to Data, and Deborah Roth's story number two from NextGov, Countering WikiLeaks Could Stifle Information Sharing. The number one story of the week from Deborah Roth and Molly O'Neill is next on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Join host Michael Keegan next week for a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, Leaders Speak, a conversation with government technology leaders on the intersection of technology and government mission. Hear from Vance Hitch, Richard Spires, Dave Bowen, Dave McClure, and Dr. Bobby Braun. Next week on the Business of Government Hour. That's next week on the Business of Government Hour.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
The underlying battle is trying to lay out the framework for how we're going to deliver services over the internet without saturating the backbone, and do it in a way that you don't censor the internet, which is what net neutrality is getting at, but simply try to moderate bandwidth in a way which is fair.
Stay up to date with technology. It's Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Amy Morris.
Virginia Congressman Jim Moran.
Both Tom Davis and I voted against BRAC, and this was one of the reasons. We knew that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to move people out of commercial office space with access to public transit, move them onto military bases that were already located in congested areas that had no access to public transit. But even though it's the 11th hour, adjustments need to be made.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The Federal News Countdown this week includes the three most important federal news stories of the week, as chosen by Deborah Roth of Shaw, Bransford & Roth, and Molly O'Neill of CGI Federal. And we're up to
number one.
The most important federal news story of the week, as chosen by Deborah Roth, is from GovExec. The headline is Pay Freeze Prompts Concerns in Congress. And Molly, you chose the story from CBS News, headline Deficit Panel Leaders Unveil Moment of Truth Plan. And they're actually tied together because of the elements in the deficit reduction plan that affect the way the people in the federal government will do their jobs over the next couple of years, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I was toying between which article I was going to pick and thinking, well, one's sort of a subset to the other. But, yeah, they're very, very much related.
The idea of the deficit plan, we found out this morning the final vote in the deficit panel was 11-7. A majority of the members endorse the plan that the co-chairs Alan Simpson and Erskine Bowles have been talking about for a couple of days, but not the supermajority that was needed to force Congress to vote on it. A number of members of the Senate have already written to the president saying, we want you to pursue this anyway. A couple of pieces of legislation have already been introduced to promote this in Congress. So the support seems to be building, at least, for something to happen here. Debbie, as you read through this and have read the accounts of it, obviously we know the president's take on the pay freeze, and what he proposed on Monday, and we've been covering it exhaustively on Federal News Radio. All of our resources are gathered under the search term pay debate at federalnewsradio.com if you want to see all that stuff. But what do you take away from this, for this whole discussion, not just about the deficit reduction plan in general, but the way that it applies to the people who work for the government in particular?
Well, that you're not exempt from a bad economy. And frankly, I am surprised. I mean, I practice law inside the federal community, and I've been doing so for over 20 years. And these are my clients, federal employees, but it's always very surprising to me in the last 2 years to see the disconnect that they really have, because they have a guaranteed pretty healthy salary mm-hmm. and package of benefits and job security. And it's not a bottom line kind of mentality in the organizations. And there's this really bad disconnect they have to the rest of the nation. And so my reaction was kind of like, I'm surprised it took so long.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is 2010. Let's all remember when it first hit people, and it hit people really bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the end of 2008, I mean, really bad. The unemployment numbers for the first, you know, the employment lawyer here, the unemployment numbers for the first 4 or 5 months of that slide were like hundreds of thousands of people a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just surprised it took that long. And I must say, even though it's predictable, I'm still surprised to hear people saying, no, not us.
Mm-hmm.
And my story was pay freeze. You know, you quoted it from GovExec, pay freeze prompts concerns in Congress. Well, only the districts where federal employees are.
Mm-hmm. Jerry Conley's upset about it.
Yeah.
Frank Wolf.
But read closely what they have to say. They're not saying don't do it. They're just saying federal employees are great. You're pandering to the political debate that they don't work hard and they don't deserve it. They're not saying don't do it. I mean, they're definitely just trying to show a sign of support for their constituents. They know it's coming. And so for GovExec to say concerns in Congress, mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about less than a handful of members of Congress who
yeah.
are showing, quote unquote, concern.
Mm-hmm.
I think the train's left the station. I think it's going to happen. The only question is, clearly will happen for 2011, though, maybe pass it for 12 also. But then will they revisit that
yeah.
when they do the 2012 budget?
Molly, what do you think of all this?
Yeah, the first thing, one of the reasons I wanted the news item to be the number one was I was really impressed by it in many ways, just in terms of the willingness to really, you know, as Deborah said, hit almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not we're going to go after certain things. It was pretty, you know, spread out in terms of, yeah, everyone's got issues here. And, you know, I had a chance back, I think it was in the April, or I can't even remember now, several months ago, earlier last year, I went to a Peterson Foundation fiscal summer where they had, you know, the chairman and a lot of the members of the commission on, and they talked about, early on, they said, listen, we can't make the economy turn around, we can't make the changes by going around the edges anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they set a real platform that says, we know it's going to take, you know, tough things, we got to go to real tangible things where huge amounts of money can be saved and or generated. I was just really pleased because I saw that stage setting, you know,
mm-hmm.
that week they announced the commission, they had this forum, to actually see that there were some pretty aggressive things in there. And usually by the time something comes in, especially when you have a bunch of people working, you know, across party lines, things get watered down.
Politicians.
Right.
Yeah.
You get that, – that's the direct way to say it. things get watered down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I thought the actual recommendations were – they sort of hit you between the nose. It's not like we're going to do this. It says there's going to be – you know, we're recommending 10% reduction in federal workforce, 200,000 people. Not – we should reduce workforce.
Right.
I mean, they
specific
were willing
numbers.
Willing to put the numbers that had the debate so that you look at this 11-7, you know, thing. So let's have them out there. We may not all agree, but we've got our stake on the ground here.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the ideas that we can look at to pursue. Let's not try and get full consensus.
I saw Kent Conrad on CNBC this morning, and he said, listen, there are a lot of things in this that I don't agree with, but I'm going to vote for it for the exact reason that you were talking about, Molly, that it does, finally it says something. It's quantified,
right.
and it's a place that we can, it's a blueprint we can work from. When you work from a blueprint, when you're building a house, you might move a wall, you might put an extra room on at some point, you might change
right.
around what's there, but you're starting from somewhere.
As opposed to just concepts, which as Molly was saying,
yeah.
generally
right.
the partisan discussions are just about these like umbrella concepts. It was interesting for the federal employees. They were deep in numbers, okay? They were no pay raise for 2011-12. They were the 10% reduction of federal employees across the board. They were hitting the COLAs for retirees. They were raising the retirement age of when you could even get your COLAs. They did say they were more generic about federal employee health
right.
plans, but they were very, they got specific.
Mm-hmm. We got to take a quick break and come back and wrap up our conversation about story number one on the Federal News Countdown this week with Deborah Roth and Molly O'Neill, and we'll do that in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Here's Christina Morrison, Manager Government Marketing, HP Personal Systems Group, on the Federal Teleworking Panel, sponsored by FedsTelework.com, HP, Intel, and Microsoft.
The IT that has happened in the last six, even two or three years with the embrace of social media out there, IT is here, and the capabilities to implement telework, whether you're at the federal level, state and local level, or in the private sector, it's here, and it does provide benefits not only to employees, but productivity as well.
If you haven't heard, the 2010 Telework Enhancement Act passed recently. FedScoop's Feds Telework recent panel discussion can give you the information you need to implement an effective telework program within your agency. Go to FedsTelework.com to view videos from top Fed execs, read more on telework resources, and be social with Feds Telework. Find telework solutions for security, mobility, and productivity from HP, Intel, and Microsoft. Work is something you do, not somewhere you go. Learn about the future of telework at FedsTelework.com.
Here's Don Leaf, the Senior Executive for Cloud Computing at NIST, on the Federal Executive Forum on Government Cloud Computing, sponsored by Riverbed Technology.
Those types of services and the boundaries on the improvements we can't envision. Just as historically there's a technology we think we will get certain benefits, and then those benefits exceed what we envisioned, I think that will be the case here.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
How do you consolidate IT without compromising performance? Make it happen with Riverbed. With our WAN optimization solutions, you can virtualize your government data center with ease. Plug and play in as little as 15 minutes. Cut IT costs up to 30%. Accelerate agency applications up to 100 times. And keep data safe and secure. Learn more and download a free white paper at riverbed.com/virtualization. Riverbed. Think fast.
HalfPriceDC.com, half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, spas, and more.
This week, buy half-price gift certificates to Smoothie King. Receive a free small smoothie with any $25 gift card purchase in stores this holiday season. A great way to make it a healthy holiday.
The Chicken Place in Fair Oaks Mall, serving the authentic and bold taste of a la brasa chicken. And Sheer Shack Salon and Spa in Alexandria. Experienced stylists combine your input with their expertise.
See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Plan now to attend a firm's December 16th luncheon to discuss how federal agencies are in a race to the finish line to implement Internet Protocol Version 6, learn how to comply with the administration's mandate, and hear from key government officials leading the charge. That's December 16th at 11:30 a.m. at the Hamilton Crown Hotel in Washington, D.C. Register today at www.affirm.org.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests on the Federal News Countdown this week, Deborah Roth of Shaw, Bransford & Roth, and Molly O'Neill of CGI Federal, counting down the stories with me on the countdown this week. Debbie's story number one is from GovExec, pay freeze prompts concerns in Congress, and Molly's story is a CBS News story, headline, Deficit Panel Leaders Unveil Moment of Truth Plan. And this CBS News story, Molly, does a great job of crystallizing what this is all about. The leaders of President Obama's bipartisan deficit commission released their official plan for deficit reduction, and it was voted on today, final vote 11-7 in favor, standing by their controversial proposals to double the gas tax, raise the retirement age to receive Social Security payouts, cut Medicare, and lay off hundreds of thousands of federal workers. Beside that, they don't want to change too much. Just those few little things that they're concerned about. What I find interesting about this is I have what's called the mom test, and I'll just describe this very briefly. My mom went on Social Security about a year and a half ago. She is a college-educated person, but with only about a year or so of college. It didn't finish because Francis Rose Jr. came along, and that was the end of that. And so she follows these things, but she lives in Pennsylvania, so she's not inside the Beltway. She follows these things kind of from a distance. And she has a really good take, I think, on how this stuff plays in real, what I call real America. She has been following this deficit panel stuff, and she told me the other night, if they do what they say they're going to do, and they do it right, I don't mind paying more taxes, I don't mind benefits being cut. And I said, well, I don't think your benefits are going to be cut, Mom, I think you're good. She said, well, even if they did, if they needed to cut my benefits, I have a 10-year-old son, if they need to cut my benefits to make sure my grandson's not carrying this around on his back, we can work that out. But I don't have much confidence that whatever they do cut and save is going to end up going to reduce the debt. And that's the crux of what I think people have been getting at.
I think that's a universal view amongst Americans, every income, every, you know, all the demographics. I think people have lost confidence that the government, our politicians, are going to actually achieve these real results for people.
Mm-hmm. As somebody who has been inside an agency serving the American people every day, what do you do, Molly, to try, on an individual basis, to try to help restore that trust?
Well, you know, I think you made a really good point. And I've said this, you know, when I was in government and outside of government. I think one of the things that we tend to do is we get caught up in Washington speak, and we get caught up in our own, you know, government work is the major work here.
Mm-hmm.
But if we take ourselves and we put ourselves out to people outside of Washington, you know, and have the discussion and put yourself there, I think that's a really compelling thing to constantly remind people within government to say, you know, if you take yourself out, give them the mother rule where their mm-hmm. mothers live, whether it's in Kansas or whatever, and really put them in the shoes, because I think that is a very, very good kind of reminder to people. Because everyone else's life is different than it is in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and we need to constantly remind the federal workers that.
This has been a terrific count. There's a lot more here we could talk about, and I wish we had time to do it. You've chosen great stories this week. It's great to see both of you again and have you on the show. Molly O'Neill of CGI Federal, Deborah Roth of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. You can find the Federal News Countdown stories at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. You can find the audio from our conversation today linked up there later on this afternoon. Also, if you were with me in hour number one and you were listening to the hearing of the Ad Hoc Subcommittee on Contracting Oversight in the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, with the Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, Arthur Fields. That's available at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. The Dorbeck Insider up next.